We take you now to our wine appraiser news correspondent, Dom Down the Hatch. Dom, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you, Denise. We are standing outside the Wine Appraiser World Headquarters. This gleaming skyscraper in the suburbs of Spring Hill, Iowa, is a scene where earlier today, for nearly the first time in history, the president has issued an executive order demanding the Wine Appraiser podcast tonight change from its regularly scheduled show and instead cover the Gamay wine grape. Therefore, our regular Wine Appraiser show scheduled for tonight, the tasting of three differently priced Pinots entitled, Does Price Equal Quality? Or Should I Spend the Money on the Wine or Order Dessert? Will be delayed until next week, so we may bring you this special show. Back to you, Denise.
Wow, I thought we changed the show because I had a cold.
Hello and welcome to the Wine Appraiser Podcast, where we sip and tell and share affordable wine finds. I'm Dennis, the Wine Appraiser, and I'm here with my wife and wine tasting partner, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
And a special thank you to Don, our correspondent out there working hard.
Yeah, Don. Dom is...
Don or Dom.
Dom. Which,
I call him Don, you call him Dom. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And I can neither confer. He won't be offended either way.
No.
You can call him whichever. He doesn't care. I can neither confirm nor deny that any of the prior announcement was true, though.
Well, we aren't doing our typical show tonight.
We are not doing. Yeah.
We do know that.
Yeah. And you do have a cold.
And I do have a cold.
So it could be either one.
Right.
Could be the president or it could be you.
Right. I know which one I am.
So what do you know about Gamay? We've never done a show on Gamay.
It's a red wine.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It looks kind of light.
Do you like Gamay?
I would probably say I might.
Okay. You might. I would like to try this with Thanksgiving. I'm thinking this might be a Thanksgiving wine.
Okay, we'll find out.
I would say, if I was getting it for Thanksgiving, though, I would try a wine from Beaujolais.
And where is tonight's wine from?
Ours is from the Loire Valley, which also produces quite a bit of Gamay, but not like Beaujolais. That's their specialty.
Should have got Beaujolais.
Yeah, well,
Gamay.
I didn't have one, so actually, I might have had one, but I wanted to drink this one. So.
And we did have to change things up.
Yeah,
on spur of the
this
moment.
Was a yeah, this was kind of a last minute thing. So, Gamay is known, like you said, it's a light colored wine. It's known for being light body and kind of a fruit forward wine with low tannins, which you should like.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically, you know, like you said, very light in color. It has a lot of red fruit, you know, in it. So it's going to have cherry, raspberry fruit flavors. Sometimes they'll even say it has, some of the wines will have kind of a bubble gum type flavored. I don't get that in this one. I kind of actually like this one.
A little bit of a sweet bubble gum. What is that flavor in bubble gum?
I don't know. Sugar? I don't know.
I don't know. It does have a distinct smell.
And you get that from this?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying in bubble gum, from my childhood, I do remember the bazooka bubble gum.
Oh, yeah.
Having a distinct smell.
Yeah. And I don't get that at all in this, but I think some of the Gamays will have that. Okay. They're also known for having earthy floral notes. Typically are pretty high in acid, medium to high acid. They're most famous, like we were talking about, coming from Beaujolais, which is the southernmost region of Burgundy. And in fact, way, way back in 1395, the Duke of Burgundy actually banned Gamay from being grown.
Why is that?
Because he thought it was such a light wine and it was inferior to the Pinot, which is the typical red wine in Burgundy. So he wanted them to grow all Pinot and get rid of Gamay.
He wanted the cream of the crop.
Yeah, Pinot. He thought that was the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of this, this just came to me. I've been reading the book on World War II and wine.
And what is the book you're reading?
It's, what is it? Wine and War, wasn't it?
Wine and War. Do you recommend that book?
Oh, I love it. And I got recommended this from when we went to the class. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
By Aaron.
Yeah. And I love it. I came home, ordered it, and I'm just about done with it. I'm a very slow reader.
Oh, but you're almost done. Yes. Yeah. Impressive.
And it is, so the part I was just reading, and the reason it came to my head was they're in the Burgundy region. The Americans have come in and they're going up the Rhone River, clearing out Burgundy. They put the Americans on the bad or the inferior quality wine grape side of the river.
The Gamay side?
Well, no.
Oh, still Pinot.
It's Pinots, okay, and Chardonnays, mm-hmm, but they wanted the Americans in the inferior vineyards because they went faster, paid less attention to the grapes and things, and cleared out the Germans much quicker, but did more damage to the vineyards, where the French, it was all about taking their time, saving the vineyards. And I think they did a lot of drinking as they went through the vineyards, and they probably went slow enough that they didn't catch many Germans either. So it was pretty funny, but yeah, it was all about protecting the vineyards, and I mean, that's what they say. That was their national treasure, and they wanted to protect it.
That was their secret stash.
Yeah, so that was kind of funny. But Gamay is, like we said, mostly produced in Beaujolais in Burgundy. It actually produces about 75% of all the Gamay in the world.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Other regions, the Loire in France is also a fairly big region for Gamay. It's also started cropping up in other cooler regions such as Canada, Oregon, and some areas in New Zealand, which they have some cooler regions in New Zealand. So they're growing it there.
Does it have a pretty consistent taste across those regions, or?
I don't know. That's a good question. I do not know that.
Okay.
I mean, Gamay is kind of known for the fruit or the flavors that we talked about. It mostly pairs with soft cheeses, chicken, turkey, salmon, mushroom dishes.
So salmon, you would like that.
Salmon, I'd be interested in tasting it with salmon. And like we said, the turkey, also like mushroom dishes, that would be like your green bean casserole at Thanksgiving time. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that might go pretty well. And the soft cheeses too. You should serve it a little bit chilled, 55 to 60 degrees, because it is so light and acidic.
Okay, slight chill on this.
Yeah, let's go to our tasting. So we're going to taste this wine and we'll rate it 1 to 5. 1 being really bad, 2 being not so good, but drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
3's pretty good.
I don't trust my nose today. So what do you go first on the nose?
Okay, and this looks like a Pinot, really,
to me. It does, just with a little more brown instead of red.
Okay, I'm not getting much brown, but...
Yeah.
You do? You get a brown tint?
It's not a true Pinot red.
Okay. I would say it's pretty close, but that's fine. And I think it smells quite a bit like a Pinot, too. This is a a 100% Camay, so it's got an earthiness on it.
And a little
cherry smell. So there's a cherryness, a cherry fruit flavor. There's a mushroomy, earthy,
definitely
barnyard
earthy
type of aroma to it.
And maybe a little bit of that raspberry and bubblegum. Mm-hmm. But my nose isn't the best today. So.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the bubblegum, but I get more of the earthiness, which I obviously like that.
Yeah, a little spiciness. Which you're calling earthiness.
Yeah. And I get kind of a, I don't know what it would be, kind of a other earthy aroma. I don't know what that would be. I don't get much floral in there either, but what do you think?
It wasn't bad. I thought it tasted more fruity on the palate. Mm-hmm. I was expecting it to be a little more earthy or spicy.
Yeah, it's more fruity on the taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You get a lot more fruit taste than you do on the aromas.
And you definitely get that pucker, or at least I get that pucker at that finish.
Yes, it's got some acid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would like this better with the meal than all by itself because of that acid, but it's good.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go a 3 because it's not something I'd probably go out and just, I'm not going to rave about it, but it's definitely not bad.
It's not bad, though. I crave something to eat with it.
Okay.
Just to...
And what would you like to eat with it?
I don't know. I would say that cheese. Okay. To get that little bite or that little acid out of my...
I think a creamy,
Mm-hmm.
A creamy would go good with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a salmon would go real well with that.
And that I couldn't comment on because I've probably tasted salmon twice in my life.
Okay. Okay, so just to let you know... What we're tasting here is a 2021 Le Rouge East et Ayer Saint Porquin.
That was harder to say than Dom de Hatch.
Yeah. And look it up. You can see it on our show notes because I'm sure I'm not even coming close to pronouncing that correctly. But that's from the Loire Valley. It's kind of from the central... portion of the Loire. I purchased this online and I looked it up. You can still get it there for $18. It's produced by Domaine de Berryer. The winery's biodynamic. And
so what
it's
does that
made,
mean, biodynamic?
It means they're conscious about the earth. I think it means that they try to, a lot of them have like goats that like weed the vineyards.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And fertilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's
goats
just...
Goats eat everything. They don't eat the grapevine.
Well, I'm sure they have to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that's how they found out that pruning makes a better wine.
Yes.
Was that goats or horses? I think that might have been horses.
That could have been horses.
Or mules. Donkeys. Donkeys. That's what that was. Yeah.
That took a while, but finally we got the story.
So this is made with 100% Gamay grapes, and it's 12.5% alcohol. So usually it's kind of a middle-of-the-road alcohol-wise grape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But this isn't as light and crisp as you might think.
Yeah. This, to me, is more like a Pinot than other...
With a little more acid and a little more fruit forward, I think.
Yeah, it's a little bit fruitier, a little bit less complex, I think, than a typical Pinot would be. But yeah. But it tends towards that type of earthiness and
you might want to try it if you do like Pinot, this might be a nice
if you step like into a light Pinot
this might be a nice step into something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think some of them can be a lot more kind of towards the bubblegummy, sweeter type fruit.
A
little bit less earthiness maybe than this one here. But
I do feel like it's lighter than a lighter body than most Pinots I've tried.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you giving it?
Oh, it's hard for me to... I would say a 3, but keep in mind I have a cold. So it's very hard for me to judge this when I have a cold.
Okay. I think we'll both give it a 3 and...
And hopefully you'll go out
I don't mind it. And try it. I did like it. So, awesome. Well, our last minute Gamay was pretty good. And yeah, give it a try. I think we're going to try one for Thanksgiving. So we'll let you know how that works out. So, but next week, unless the president comes forth and tells us we can't do it again, we're going to do those Pinots.
I know, the 3. I really want to see if I can get it right.
So again, we're going to do 3 Pinots. They're going to be from, it's about a $10 one, a $24 wine, and then about a $70 Pinot. So
I better get this
so
right.
So we've got a big range of prices, and we're going to see if that makes a difference.
You always in say the quality. I'm an expensive gal, so I should get it right.
Or if we should have ordered dessert.
No, we'll stick with that.
Okay, I think that's a wrap.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, thanks everyone. So until next time, happy wine trails to you until we taste again on the next episode of the Wine Appraiser Podcast. Bye.